If you're looking for financial trouble, you're in the right place. The baddest biker bar in the investment world, this is the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life, where we get the latest take from David Trainer and the crew at New Constructs, a research firm that has an approach unlike any others. It combines discounted cash flow analysis and forensic accounting, digging in at the bottom of the footnotes and working their way up. And the idea is to see where the statements might be misleading. Now, of course, if something is misleading and works in your favor, that would make a stock attractive. But if it is misleading and works against shareholders, that is dangerous. Find out much more about how it works by going to newconstructs.com. David Trainer, always great to have you back on Money Life.
Great to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Rivian.
Danger, danger.
Rivian. It's R-I-V-N. This is a stock you literally have not liked since it was born. You put it in the danger zone back before the IPO. So that would have been in October of 2021. And oh, by the way, the stock was trading for like $130, $140. And today it's trading for $14. So after that much of a beating, why is this stock in the danger zone again now?
It's still really unprofitable, Chuck. It would be a zombie stock if not for the fact that they got all that money from Volkswagen and they still have Volkswagen backing them up. Yeah, it's losing a lot of money and the growth story is over. I mean, they had year-over-year declines in production and deliveries. So the valuation is wildly disconnected from fundamentals. That's sort of the situation. So despite the fact that it's down year to date, it's been up 50% over the last year. And we think investors need a reminder that this stock has got really a lot of downside risk. The only thing protecting it is Volkswagen. They already put a bunch of money in. I sort of wouldn't be that surprised if they sort of put more good money in after bad.
Well, they are the living embodiment, I guess, of stupid money risk. They waited till this stock got hammered and they basically said, we might as well basically give ourselves an option on whether or not we want to buy the company, right? We'll be the first actor if we want to do that by getting in, you know, got in relatively cheaply, right?
Yeah, what, July 2024, they put $6 billion in. You know, it was headed for bankruptcy. They burned through a lot of that cash, though, already. And they're burning at a really, really fast rate. When we would show that they've got, I think, around 22 months of runway, which would qualify them for the zombie stock list. And again, they do qualify, except for the fact they got Volkswagen behind them.
Yeah, so 22 months, well, 2 years is basically inside of a zombie stock. And for those who don't understand, a zombie stock is one that is burning cash, and the outcome, particularly appropriate for Rivian, sounds like this. From the standpoint of this valuation, again, when this stock came out, it was trading closer to 150. Now it's trading for about 14. What's a fair value on this stock? How low can it or should it go?
It's hard to say what Volkswagen, who ultimately controls that destiny, is going to want to do. But I tell you that the economic book value is negative $39 a share. They've got a negative 32% return on invested capital, a negative 93% profit margin. I mean, this has got no value to equity investors at this point, you know, unless Volkswagen is going to just continue to pump money in. The expectations baked into the stock price are really pretty wild too. So even if we assume that they can go from a negative 93 to a 4% margin, they still got to grow revenue at 37% compounded annually through 2035 to justify the current stock price. That would put them at producing around 2 million vehicles a year, assuming the average selling price is equal to the new electric vehicle price. By the way, that's a lot lower than the average selling price of a Rivian, which is $87,000. But that means they'd have like 17% market share, which would be pretty difficult to attain if your margins had dramatically improved, because that means you're charging more for the cars. You're right, because they got a big time negative margin. So they're losing a lot of money trying to sell these electric vehicles. It'd be way more trucks than Toyota sells. The RAV4, which is, you know, they did 475,000, and the Ford F-150 was 470,000. Those are the two best selling vehicles in the US. So you're looking at Rivian doing, you know, four to five times that at 2 million vehicles. Anyway, it's really high expectations.
So, David, Money Life just celebrated its 13th anniversary, and the Danger Zone doesn't go all the way back, but there have been over 570 Danger Zone episodes on the show. I'm not sure I've ever heard that negative 39 number. Has there ever been one larger?
I think some of those zombie stocks had some pretty significant negative economic book values back in the day. I think Beyond Meat and Carvana and some of those. I don't know for sure. I could do a quick screen on you, but negative 39 bucks is pretty bad.
Is negative 39 bucks the basic statement of you think this is going to zero?
Unless Volkswagen comes into the rescue, yes.
From that perspective, given that Volkswagen has a presence already, given how bad things are, is there any reason to expect that Volkswagen, if it decides to go the rest of the way, is going to get stupid, like that somebody else would come in and snatch it from them? You would think the second deal is not going to be any bigger than the first one in terms of, you know, value per share, right?
Yeah, I know. I think this is Volkswagen sort of zigging when the market zagged. We've seen electric vehicle demand really kind of taper off. We've also heard the legacy automakers talk about how expensive trucks are because the batteries are so expensive to get it to work. And so I just think Volkswagen made a bad move here. Are they going to let it die? I don't know. It's hard to say. You just don't know how much attachment these executives might have to any particular investment. They typically do want to save what they invested in to begin with, because otherwise they kind of have to take a bath on it. They may like wait for the next executive to come along to do it, but they're not likely to do it. It's a tough call, but it's losing a lot of money, burning through a lot of cash. And again, the production numbers down year over year here already in 2025. So it's like the growth story's gone. I don't know if they're going to sell much.
It's funny because there are a number of Rivians that are driven in the community where I live, or that's how it seems, because they're striking cars. They're not bad looking cars and what have you. But every time I've seen one, ever since the first time the company was going public and was in the danger zone, I keep assuming that, like, yeah, there's a problem here, or, you know, you poor guy, you've got this car and nobody really wants to own the car from the company that, oh, they're out of business and their service is going to suffer and the rest. But there hasn't been obvious stories of the company is suffering from a production standpoint or the rest. Like, this is a bad story about a business that's bad. It is not a story about a business that has gone bad, correct?
Yeah. I mean, they've never really made a lot of money. Their market share, you know, did rise. You know, they grew from 0.4% in the first quarter of 22 up to 5% in the third quarter of 2023 and the first quarter of 2024, but they've since dropped to 2.9% in the first quarter of 2025. So it feels like these guys had their shot. They missed it. They're still losing a lot of money, right? Because the idea, you know, for the narrative is that, oh, it's losing money because it's in its high growth ramp up phase. Well, they're not growing anymore, losing market share. You know, what does that mean?
And there's been a lot of talk about how automakers are going to be negatively impacted by tariffs. There's not a real reason to expect that these guys can avoid any of that, is there?
No. And I think they suffer from the same competitive disadvantages we talked about with Tesla in terms of battery and recharge, right? Battery range and recharge speed, you know, where BYD in China is just really kicking tail and taking names. And so it's like not a very compelling offer. And it's an expensive car. I mean, $87,000. For a truck, it's sort of hard to justify, like, just because it's electric, yeah. Got maybe a fancy interior. I see a lot of these electric vehicles, the high-end electric vehicles, Teslas, Rivians, it's sort of just like, I don't want to say virtue signaling, it's wealth signaling. It's conspicuous consumption. It's fancy car, I'm in an EV. It's maybe a little bit of virtue signaling too. And
yeah,
I think that's going out of style.
Well, Rivian itself seems to be headed out of style, or potentially out of business. It is RIVN. It is back in the danger zone this week. David Trainer, great stuff. Thanks as always.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is founder and president at New Constructs. Go to newconstructs.com for more information to find out about the most attractive and most dangerous stocks and much more. And we are heading for home on this edition of Money Life. Up next, Odetta Kushi, Deputy Chief Economist at First American Financial Corp. She'll be here for the big interview when Money Life returns in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.